to hear. I will weep when you are weeping, when you laugh, I'll laugh with you. I will share your joy and sorrow till we see this journey through. When we speak to God in heaven, we shall find such harmony. Born of all we've known together, of Christ's love and agony. Brother, let me be your servant. Let me be as Christ to you. Pray that I may have the grace to let you be my servant too.
Please be seated. I want to welcome everyone to the service of worship today. And if this is your first time worshiping at Appleby, please follow the trail down to the hall for coffee time afterwards and a chance to say hello to people. The memorial service for Donna Benn is this afternoon at 1:30, and I realize at the same time people are going out to be ambassadors of Appleby at the street festival this afternoon. Appleby's booth is in front of the Appleby Place retirement home, so stop by and say hello if you're out enjoying the festival, but B, if you would like to be one of those smiling faces of Appleby and extending a hand, please be there from 1 to 3 or from 3 to 5, and you'll probably have to park in the Fortino's parking lot and then walk over. Please note about the in my announcements, the all candidates meeting around the environment, information there, the study book looking at the founding myths of Canada, the sign-up sheet is on my door, and we're leaning to having it Thursday at lunch here at the church. I know Evan has an announcement. If anybody else has an announcement, celebration, or concern, just join the queue. Okay. Wow, great grandparents in February. Congratulations. That's wonderful. Awesome. Totally awesome.
Well, I'm not going to be a grandparent or a great-grandparent, but just a brief announcement. You may be aware that the position of church custodian is currently vacant. We have Lori from ADECO Temp Services here on an interim basis, but we are looking to staff the position on a more permanent basis. So, if you should know anybody who would be interested and qualified for the position, they can certainly send their information to the attention of the Ministry and Personnel Committee here at the church. Thanks.
Through the lighting of the Christ candle, we remember Jesus' presence in our midst. And through the lighting of the Christ candle, we open ourselves to the love and grace of God that we celebrate in worship. Let us now acknowledge God's presence in our midst through the following words. All who are bent over with worry,
this is a place of sanctuary.
All who are burdened with life,
this is a house of care.
All who are lost to community,
this is a place of
love. All who travel with questions,
this is a community of seekers.
All who reach out to God,
this is
Come, let us worship God, let us pray. We come to you, O God, bound by the world. We come to you, O God, burdened by life. We come to you, O God, weighed down by anxiety. Smooth our crumpled living, O God. Amen. Our next hymn is number 585 in the hard-covered Voices United, Jesus Bids Us Shine, 585.
Jesus bids us shine with a pure, clear light, like a little candle burning in the night. In this world of darkness, so let us shine. You in your small corner, and I in mine. Jesus bids us shine, first of all, walks beside us to help us shine. You in your small corner and I in mine. Jesus bids us shine then for all around. Many kinds of darkness in the world are found. Sin and want and sorrow, so small corner and not in mine.
Please be seated. Self-reflection is an important building block for personal growth, and that's why we mirror it in our service of worship through a time of reflection and saying, I'm sorry. Let us pray. Liberating God, the voice of Jesus Christ calls us out of shadows into new life. Yet sometimes we ignore that voice, even when it calls within our heart.
We make ourselves unworthy,
or too busy, or unskilled to be prophets and disciples. At other times, we may discredit the ministry of others, believing that you would only call certain kinds of people to proclaim your word. Liberate us again, O God. Set us free from our misunderstandings and help us to embrace and embody your hopes and dreams. Take a moment to think of what is crippling you. What burden do you need to let go of, and leave it with God in prayer. Amen. The assurance of God's never-ending love. God's Spirit has given us life.
Christ has set us free.
God forgives us.
Christ has set us free.
Let us live by the Spirit.
Christ has set us free.
Amen. Our first lesson this morning is from one of Paul's letters.
Good morning.
Good morning.
This is Paul's letters to the Galatians,
There's a couple places where Galatia might have been, but most likely around central Turkey. So that's the people that he was writing to. As for you, my friends, you are called to be free. Do not let this freedom become an excuse for letting your physical desires control you. Instead, let love make you serve one another. For the whole law is summed up in one commandment: love your neighbor as you love yourself. But if you act like wild animals, hurting and harming each other, then watch out, or you will completely destroy one another. What I say is this: let the Spirit direct your lives, and you will not satisfy the desires of the human nature. For what our human nature wants is opposed to what the Spirit wants, and what the Spirit wants is opposed to what our human nature wants. These two are enemies, and this means that you cannot do what you want to do. If the Spirit leads you, then you are not subject to the law. What human nature does is quite plain. It shows itself in immoral, filthy, and indecent actions, in worship of idols and witchcraft. People become enemies and they fight. They become jealous, angry, ambitious. They separate into parties and groups. They are envious, get drunk, have orgies, and do other things like these. I warn you now, as I have before, those who do these things will not possess the kingdom of God. But the Spirit produces love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, humility, and self-control. There is no law against such things as these. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have put to death their human nature with all its passions and desires. The Spirit has given us life. He must also control our lives. We must not be proud or irritate one another or be jealous of one another. Here ends the lesson.
Our gospel lesson today is from Luke chapter 13, beginning at the 10th verse. And it's the story of Jesus healing a crippled woman on the Sabbath. One Sabbath, Jesus was teaching in a synagogue. A woman there had an evil spirit that kept her sick for 18 years. She was bent over and could not straighten up at all. When Jesus saw her, he called out to her, "Woman, you are free from your sickness." He placed his hands on her, and at once she straightened herself up and praised God. The official of the synagogue was angry that Jesus had healed on the Sabbath, so he spoke up and said to the people, "There are 6 days in which we should work. So come during those days and be healed, but not on the Sabbath." The Lord answered him, "You hypocrites! Any one of you would untie your ox and your donkey from the stall and take it out to give it water on the Sabbath. Now here is this descendant of Abraham whom Satan has kept in bonds for 18 years. Should she not be released on the Sabbath?" His answer made his enemies ashamed of themselves, while the people rejoiced over all the wonderful things that he did. Thanks be to God for these words.
Choosing joy on the journey of love.
What a wonderful message in that anthem, Joy on the Journey of Life. Let us pray. O Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Is anyone here perfect? You want to put your hand up, maybe? A few of you? That's awesome. Thank you. The choir. Practically. Close enough. So that means you maybe have a few problems. Anyone here have a few problems? Or at least one. Thank you. I am Alan Warren, and today's message is a new identity. And today you are going to learn that there are two understandings of what it means to keep the Sabbath holy. That's in the Ten Commandments. You will also learn that in God's eyes, you are more than your past mistakes and problems. You are a beloved child of God. And we'll find some new insights into Paul's dichotomy between human nature, or what the Revised Standard Version calls the flesh, and the spirit. Can I share with you a little of my own story this morning? Thank you. Probably about 8-10 years into my ministry, I almost burnt myself out. Too many committees, family life, and trying to keep a church going. I remember talking to someone, a trusted friend on one of those committees. I'd been asked to join a small group, a men's group, and I just said, I don't see how I can put another minute into my schedule. She said words that, in many ways saved me. She said, Alan, from what you've told me, I don't see how you cannot find time to join that group. And I did, and was incredibly thankful, because it was through the support of that small group I was better able to understand myself and took some steps to reduce my level of stress without having to take a stress leave in my position. So this morning, I want you to think of a time maybe when you had a problem, when you feel okay sharing with someone, and what helped you through that time of difficulty or through that problem. So you can either share that with someone, or you can think about it on your own. A time you had a problem, and what or who helped you through that difficulty. Go. Please stop. And feel free to continue that conversation over coffee, because it's, I think, very important in our lives to feel the support of others. Does anybody here like chemistry or physics?
Just physics.
Okay, I see a few hands. That's awesome. How many people here found chemistry, physics, or calculus difficult? Anybody find those things difficult? Okay, thank you. How about complicated? You know? It took some focus and concentration and often a few other people to help figure it out. What's the old saying? Two heads are? Thank you. Four or five? Even better. Well, today's passages of Scripture are complicated, especially Paul's words in Galatians. So I'm going to leave those to last. Anybody here ever put off a problem? Just kind of push it off in the corner, hopes that it'll go away. Well, I'm going to leave that with Paul's conversation of our human nature, also translated flesh and spirit. So hopefully you're okay with us just pushing that off. How many of you have ever felt bent over with worry or anxiety? Anybody ever felt bent over with some problems in life? What would it be like to feel free of that worry and anxiety? Incredible, liberated, thank you. Jesus said to a woman who had been sick for 18 years, "You are free from your sickness." Imagine the joy, the celebration in her heart. Liberating. Now, seeing Jesus as a doctor, the leader of the synagogue chastised that woman for making an appointment on the Sabbath or on Sunday. Remember the laws about Sunday at one time? How many of you ever here have gone to an emergency room on Sunday or maybe a medical clinic? Anybody ever done that? Absolutely. Notice Jesus' response to the synagogue official. "You would untie your ox or your donkey on the Sabbath to give it a drink of water. So why shouldn't I loosen the bonds of this woman on the Sabbath?" The implications of Jesus' question is clear. Isn't this woman worth much more than your farm animals? Absolutely. All of us have had a past or have had problems. One of the less savory aspects of contemporary society is we seem to categorize people by their deficiencies rather than calling them by name. So we talk about a bent over woman. Notice we don't know her name. The physically and mentally challenged, the victim of abuse, alcoholic, divorce, single parent, the list goes on. This passage reminds us God does not define us by our past or our problems, but desires to set us free. God sees beyond our problems to our potential. To our what?
Potential,
absolutely. God sees us as a beloved child of God. Amazing. We need to let that soak into our being. Now, I learned something new this week. Can you think of a time when you learned something new? Hopefully it hasn't been that long ago. We need to keep learning. How many of you have ever heard of the Ten Commandments? Most of you heard of the Ten Commandments? Awesome, that's wonderful. Did you know there are two records of the Ten Commandments in the Bible? Now, I did know that. One is in Exodus chapter 20, the other in Deuteronomy chapter 5. Now, in Exodus chapter 20, the law to obey the Sabbath is connected to the creation story. I, the Lord, made the earth, the sky, the seas, and everything in them in 6 days, but on the seventh I rested. That is why I blessed the Sabbath and made it holy. This is what I did not know. I just assumed the Ten Commandments in Deuteronomy were exactly the same as the ones in Exodus. Now, they're the same ten, but they're written, in some instances, differently. The command to obey the Sabbath and keep it holy is connected with the Exodus story in Deuteronomy. Remember that you were slaves in Egypt, and that I, the Lord, rescued you by great power and strength. That is why I command you to observe the Sabbath. The Exodus story, setting people free from slavery, from what binds them. Jesus responds to the synagogue official. He's responding from a different understanding of Sabbath. The synagogue official responds with the Exodus understanding, while Jesus lived out the Deuteronomy understanding of what it meant to keep the Sabbath holy. Remembering to be involved in the work of setting people free from whatever binds them. What do you think binds people today? What causes them to be bent over? Worry, stress, thank you. Anything else?
Elections,
the love of money, thank you. Keeping up with the Joneses, you know. Absolutely. Maybe unemployment.
Young people, expensive housing.
How am I going to afford a house? Language barriers, non-access to services. If you look at this month's Broadview with the picture of Greta Thunberg on the front, there's an excellent story from a daughter to her dad who was addicted to OxyContin, prescribed by a doctor because of the accident he was in, and the effect that it had on her. What does it mean to be involved in the holy work of setting people free? Now, rarely in life is it either or, but rather both and. We need both understandings of Sabbath, a day of rest to restore heart, mind, body, and soul, a day to gather and praise God together, to celebrate the sacred stories and be supported through the fellowship. We also need to understand Sabbath, though, as joining together in the holy work of setting people free from whatever binds them. Now on to trying to understand Paul, the problem child in the Bible. Anybody ever here ever had to deal with a problem child? A difficult child? Oops, there I'm doing what I said not to do. I define Paul by the problems I have with him, rather than seeing Paul as a beloved child of God. Paul begins our passage from Galatians today saying, you are called to be free. Question is, free for what? And Paul gives a big hint when he writes a little farther on, for the whole law is summed up in one command, love your neighbor as you love. Thank you. Now, one of the things I don't like about Paul is those long list of negative attributes. Did you like hearing all those things that John mentioned? You know, immoral, filthy, indecent actions, worship of idols and witchcraft. People become enemies and they fight, become jealous, angry, ambitious. They separate into parties and groups. Sounds like an election must be coming up, you know. They are envious, get drunk, have orgies, and do other things like that. Thank you for the boost of morale, Paul. You know? And you see that more than once in some of his letters, these different lists. There are two things you may find helpful to understand them. One, if you go back to verse 9, chapter 4, you see that some people have fallen back into their old ways. Idols and practices of divination, which were very common, as common as today's TV ads, statues, billboards, defining a better way of life. The stories of the gods. Secondly, what is defined as human nature or flesh in the Revised Standard Version, it might be better understood as self-centered. Paul does not see the body as evil. After all, it's created in the image of God, and the spirit is good, but rather he's talking about a self-centered life as opposed to a God-centered life. Has anyone here ever known someone where everything is always about them? You do? Okay, so you know how tiring it is to hear someone talk about me, 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 me. I want, I want, I want. Now, the opposite of a self-centered life for Paul is a God-centered life, which is life in the Spirit. And it has something to do with widening your understanding of self so you can make room for another human being and learn to love your neighbor as you love yourself. Because you need to know the ancient world was full of idols of Greek and Roman gods with all their stories, and they knew all the stories when they saw the idols, statues, of what made for a good life. Today, our idols and statues are all the ads we see on television, the billboards, and in magazines. You want to be happy, buy this product, drive this car, drink this beer. Again, it's all about me. Do whatever makes you feel good. Pleasure is the highest virtue, hedonism. Paul had a ton to say about that. You know? He talked about following the life of Christ. He talked about sacrifice. He talked about service. He talked about learning to put himself aside, yourself aside, as Jesus did, to do what God's will, loving and serving others, to help set people free as Jesus did. Learning to look outside ourselves, to love our neighbors as ourselves, serving others, fighting for justice, builds and maintains community through which we are blessed. The kingdom of God that Jesus countlessly spoke about. Focusing constantly on self, what I want leads to division and strife and anger and resentment and all the other things Paul spoke of. But a God-centered life, life in the Spirit, gives us a new identity. We now go on to this second list of love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, humility, and self-control. How many would like those things? Absolutely. That sounds great, God. I'm ready. I could use some of that love, joy, peace, patience, as long as it doesn't take too long, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, humility, not too much though, okay, and self-control. I'm waiting, God. Drum your fingers. Drum your fingers. You're waiting. The only thing is, this is not magic. Maybe that's why self-control is mentioned last. It involves hard work. Learning to love others as we love ourselves means taking time to examine ourselves. As the daughter said to her dad in that article, it was always someone else's fault. the union, the recession, the accident, your parents, but it never had anything to do with you, your addiction, or the effect that addiction had on me and our family. And you didn't go and get help. Spiritual disciplines that were mentioned in the Lenten study book Bullseye a couple of years ago helps in that process of centering our life on God. Coming to worship regularly, having a prayer life, daily devotions, meeting in small groups, serving others, self-reflections, reading maybe a book like Scott Peck's The Road Less Traveled, Richard Rohr's Falling Upwards, books that look at our own development and stages of life, things that hold up mirrors for us to help us understand ourselves better so we can learn to love others as we can learn to love ourselves. Taking time to be still and know that I am God, to soak up some of the knowledge that we are a beloved child of God, that we are free, that we are not defined by our past mistakes, but by God's love and grace. Think about that. We're defined by God's love and grace. Amazing. Paul knew what our new self was more than a feeling, but anchored in an act of will that reflects those two understandings of Sabbath, a time of rest, daily devotion, worship to soak up a sense of God's love and grace, we're more than our past mistakes, and a time of holy service to help liberate others from whatever forces that bind them and keep them bent over. You're free. Thanks be to God. Amen. Our next hymn is number 154. It's in the soft-covered book, More Voices. They're probably on the end of the pews, deep in our hearts. There's not enough for all, so you'll have to look at the screen. Number 154, Deep in Our Hearts.
Deep in our hearts, there is
Please be seated. Your offering today helps to set people free in body, mind, and spirit. Use our gifts, O God, so others may be able to see beyond their problems to a new life dominated with hope, human dignity, justice, and love. We'll now have our morning's offering. These gifts, O God, in the name of the one who is our healer and our hope. May peace for the troubled, strength for the sick, hope for the despairing, justice for the powerless flow from our gifts carefully and prayerfully used. Amen. Please be seated. Let us pray. Gracious God, we come to you each week because we know what it is to be bent over. We know what it is to be weighed down with worries, anxieties, and problems. We come to be rooted in a love that will not let us go. We come to be known by more than the problems that we have. We come to be known as what we can be, a beloved child of God with unique gifts and talents that are needed for the building of your kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. We thank you for these gifts, O God. We also thank you for your belief in us. Open our eyes and ears to ways we can free others from the things that bind them too. guilt and shame, feelings of unworthiness. If people only knew who I really was, they wouldn't like me. Oppressive structures of poverty, racial profiling in school systems, and more. We are your people, O God, all of us, regardless of race, religious affiliation, sexual orientation, social status. We are all your people, O God. Help us to live, act, and create social structures as if it were so. This we ask in Jesus' name, who asked us to dream of a more fair, just, holistic world by saying these words together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. I need to tell you a little bit about our closing hymn. It's number 646, We Are Marching in the Light of God. But two verses have been added in the middle, and they will be up on the screen. I will tell them to you because they're easy to know. The first is, we are marching in the light of God. Then we are living in the love of God. Then we are moving in the power of God. The last verse is in Swahili, and I'll be closely listening to the choir to know how to pronounce it. But what I learned this week, and I had forgotten, again, from an article in Broadview, this song is from South Africa, from the pre-apartheid years. And this was sung as they marched for a better tomorrow. So thus the Swahili, to remember the roots of this song in its struggle for freedom and hope and justice and liberty. Okay.
We are marching in the light of
doesn't that make you want to sing and dance out of the week? You know, and keep your feet tapping to give you hope in what greets you in the coming week. Let us look to the screen and to our bulletin. From burden to blessing.
We go and share God's promise to the world.
From shadow to celebration.
We go and share God's promise to the world.
From forgotten to forgiven.
We go and share God's promise to the world.
From God's eternal blessing of light, of love, of grace, be with you always.
We go.
Go make a difference, we can make a difference. Go make a difference in the world. Go make a difference, we can make a difference. Go make a difference in the world. We are the salt of the earth, called to let the people see the love of God for you and me. We are the light of the world, not be hidden but be seen. Go make a difference in the world. Go make a difference, we can make a difference. Go make a difference in the world. Go make a difference, we can make a difference. Go make a difference in the world. Dance a little jig with the person around you and say you are a beloved child of God. Hello, Paul.